Well, happy Monday to you and welcome back to the Drivecast. My name is Dean Folks. I'm the lead pastor at LifePoint and do the majority of teaching here at our Lewis Center campus. And we jumped into a brand new series this past weekend called Built to Last, where we're talking about how our core values bring framing to our faith. As a matter of fact, the big idea for the series is just like blueprint-shaped buildings, our core values are the things that frame our faith. These are our foundations. At LifePoint, we talk about our five core values, like the fingers on a hand. We use the acronym GRASP. They're gospel identity, reaching priority, authentic community, spiritual intimacy, and personal ministry. And really, gospel identity is the value that holds them all together. And we say that gospel identity means that we are new. And so we looked at the passage in John chapter 4 with Jesus talking to the woman at the well. And Jesus really, in essence, he begins by talking to her about physical water, but that's really just an illustration of this reality that he uses, this parallel between physical thirst and spiritual thirst. And what he says to the lady is, hey, look, I'm offering you water that's going to satisfy at a soul level, in essence, is what he says to her. And she says, well, listen, I want that water. And that's obvious in the story because of the rival nature between the Samaritans and the Judeans / Galileans, the Northerners and Southerners. Samaria was stuck in the middle of the two, and they had kind of interbred themselves with the Assyrian Empire and had syncretized their religion. It had gotten so bad at one point, 2 Kings 17 says that the Samaritans had engaged in child sacrifices. So because of that, there was this rivalry that went on between the Galilean Jews and the Judean Jews. There was this racial tension with the Samaritan Jews. So Jesus finds himself, he actually intentionally goes to Samaria. He says, I must need to go through Samaria to meet this woman. But in doing so, he offers her this water. She says, give me this water. And he says to her, go and call your husband. And she brings up the reality that she doesn't have a husband. And Jesus, of course, already knows that she doesn't not only not currently have a husband, but that she's had five husbands in total. And so we talked about how gospel identity, this new identity that we're offered in Christ, means that God offers us the opportunity to have a completely different perspective on who we are. My pastor, when I was in seminary, is a gentleman named Adrian Rogers, and commenting on Proverbs 23:7, which says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, said one time, the me I see is the me I will be. So as you reflect on your identity, what do you see? What do you think God sees? Who defines you? How do you know you're okay? Those are all identity level questions, and that's really what Jesus is getting at. And I think it's easy for us to look at this scenario with the woman at the well and think that Jesus is being harsh with her. But in reality, he's speaking to her sexual shame. In her culture, she would have been marginalized, ostracized without the covering of a man, a male figure to pay her bills. She would have been left out in the cold, essentially, in their culture. So Jesus is very careful not to call what she's doing right. And at the same time, he wants to get at the core of what she seems to be hiding. And she has to know that he sees her and knows her. So Jesus comes specifically to see a woman that everybody sees, but it's a woman that nobody sees. A woman everybody knows, but a woman that nobody knows. She's there in the middle of the day instead of drawing water at the common time in the morning there in Sychar. And Jesus lets her know that he knows, because a lot of times we think that our perceived problems are real problems, but there's really a difference between those two things. A lot of times, so many of us struggle, maybe like the woman, with something like sexual shame, maybe something like addiction or approval or control or power or anger or success or those kinds of things. But those are problems that are just above, really, the real problem, which is gospel identity. What Jesus eventually says to the woman is that what God wants is people who are going to worship him in spirit and in truth. Our real problem is a worship problem. It's my problem. It's your problem. It was her problem. Is that we want to worship something other than God. And the danger in that is that you will become whatever you worship. You will mirror whatever you adore. So if you're not a Christian, taking the step of following Christ means that you wrap your life around your gospel identity, that you are both flawed and loved, that you are both broken and beautiful, that you're imperfect, but it's okay that you are imperfect because Christ is perfect. And he was perfect in your place, taking your sins on the cross. If you are a Christian, you have the opportunity entering a new year to worship in spirit and truth. You have the opportunity for that to be the natural outworking of your life, to spend enough of your time and give enough of your attention to God so that the outflow, the outworking, the natural flow of your life is towards spirit, passion and compassion, and truth. Understanding and application of God's word. So I'm going to pray that for us today, and then I'll give you the opportunity to pray that reality into your life. Father, we do lay our lives down in front of you today. God, we just, we want to say that as we enter a new year, God, we choose reflection, looking at our lives and God, what can be different, what can be reality, how we can be better worshipers instead of deflection, instead of bringing up arguments, God, that are not helpful. And God, we ask that you would help us focus this year on the things that really matter. And so today, God, we rest in our identity and what you say about us is true, that we're only okay if you say that we're okay. Whoever, God, you say we are, that's who we are. And so we trust that. We want to live from that. God, we ask for your help. It's in your name we pray. Now you take the opportunity to pray.